On Thursday, December 2nd, I talk with Robert Galston, who writes the blog The Rise and Sprawl, which deals with development and urban issues. This interview I had with him focused on development in downtown Winnipeg.
Well, today I wanted to bring you in to talk about downtown revitalization. This is something that has been going on for the last decade. We've been hearing about getting people downtown, revitalizing downtown. Yet nothing much has really changed, and as downtown is mostly empty at night. At the same time, the MTS Center was built, the new University of Winnipeg buildings are built. These are ostensibly a part of downtown revitalization, from what we're told. Do these kind of projects actually revitalize downtown?
Well, not really. They're not bad projects. They're not doing a lot of harm or anything like that. But there has, like, over the last 10 years, there has been a lot of projects like the MTS Center and, you know, the expansion of the U of W campus. It's all pretty exciting to see all this activity go on, but it really is just a continuation of the status quo that we have of downtown as just kind of a handful of big destinations, rather than really revitalizing it as a more whole, livable urban neighborhood that kind of functions day and night, you know, throughout the year, not just while there's, university classes going on or a concert or a hockey game.
I mean, that's one of the main issues, is that it seems to get people downtown in the first place. But like you point out, there are very few reasons for people to go downtown, and the destinations in downtown are, for, like you said, one specific event, not a viable destination 365 days a year. So what kind of projects and development needs to happen to make it that whole urban place? To make downtown Winnipeg a whole urban place?
You need to make it a neighborhood again, first and foremost, just a neighborhood that people live in. And, you know, not just live in, but be a real mixed-use neighborhood. Downtown should have a high residential population, like, throughout it. And so that way you have kind of the foundation of a residential base that uses the neighborhood as their own neighborhood to walk in, first and foremost. And then, you know, other kind of attractions that come along after that are all great, you know, and hopefully they can add to the mix, but certainly, I mean, mixed use, high density residential developments are kind of the way to go.
So within that is the Exchange District. What's happening there with people kind of moving into the warehouses and stuff like that? Is that a promising sign? Because I guess that's a little more mixed use as far as if you're talking about downtown, right?
Right. Yeah. A lot of there has been a fair amount of housing development in the Exchange. Both new buildings on Waterfront Drive and also, you know, taking old warehouses throughout the Exchange, and that's all an exciting thing to see. I mean, it's slow, and often one kind of little thing about the Exchange is that there's nothing wrong with high end condos in my mind, but when that's all that you're building, it's like these people don't really have a predisposition for, you know, walking down to the Albert for a beer or to the grocery store. You know, they're kind of living in their cars and things like that. And so, you know, if you had a more mix of incomes, you'd certainly see more people out and about and, you know, things like that.
You talked about development is slow and stuff like that. Are there barriers to developers coming to downtown Winnipeg? Is that what it's about, or is there some other factor that's a part of this?
Well, in 2004, the city completely reformed their zoning bylaw for downtown, which encompasses the Exchange District and, you know, everywhere out along Portage to the University of Winnipeg, just kind of the whole downtown core. And they created a separate zoning bylaw for it, which was actually quite a progressive document. It kind of looks at ways to encourage residential. It's not going to say, you know, no to an area because it's zoned industrial. Like it really made it easier on paper to build better quality and mixed use development. One thing that I I think has happened over these decades of public-led renewal projects, Portage Place, the Convention Center, the MTS Center, it all kind of seems to be driven by the public, and so private developers tend to stay away and just take a wait and see approach. They kind of, well, it's the government's going to do something with it. And another challenge is people that already have properties, like own a, an old heritage building, for example, are kind of waiting for, there's kind of an attitude of, wait and see rather than, I could really, start to do something with this building. So it's kind of like waiting for that golden ticket to come along kind of thing.
For Willy Wonka to come in.
Here is $1 billion. I will buy your building. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And another thing with downtown, like I guess even as if you look at it as a physical built space, there's a lot of parking lots downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems every year or so there's a new one. I was just, driving down King Street, and all of a sudden I looked, I think it was going north and looked to my left, and oh, that parking lot, I don't remember that being there before.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one, I think, proposed behind the concert hall. The justification seems to be that it helps develop the area, I guess, for whatever, yet at night when the cars leave, you're just kind of left with empty concrete. So is this kind of just due to car dependency or just completely poor planning? What is with all the parking lots?
Well, it's a bit of both. I if it was purely car dependency, if it was completely driven by demand, you wouldn't see people, you wouldn't see so many lots, I don't think. Obviously there's going to be some, even if in New York City, an extremely walkable city where nobody really drives, there's still parking garages. But in Winnipeg, there's just so many. And so that's why you see some that are just used for 8 hours a day and then they're empty the rest of the time. That shows that there's a low demand for parking. So I think it's poor planning. I mean, it's a complex issue. And it's tough in a slow growth city. But certainly I don't think parking should be seen as a solution or a way to encourage development. I mean, if that was the case, we would have had a lot more development, 20 years ago around, like Donald Street or Graham Avenue, like where there's parking lots everywhere, but that's not where development's going. Development downtown is going to Albert Street in the Exchange, for example, where there's comparatively little parking lot. So,
and I guess in a way it almost seems like it's backwards thinking as far as what I see, because it will help develop the area, but how are we going to get people to park there if there's nothing there for them to really go to, right?
Well, that's just it. Yeah. And that's another thing about, creating kind of a functioning round the clock neighborhood as opposed to a bunch of big destinations, so work destinations, entertainment destinations. You will have parking lots that are full, and then, the rest of the day they're empty. Kind of moving away from that. And then, the parking will take care of itself. I don't think it's a problem, or I don't think it's a, it shouldn't be the city's focus. They should be encouraging better land uses, better development, as opposed to putting public dollars into building a parking garage, because there's lots of them already.
Now, recently, there was a law that makes panhandlers who approach cars, squeegee kids, kind of illegal, trying to cramp down on that. There's also another law in the books against aggressive panhandlers, which was passed some years ago. And in many ways, downtown is being seen as unsafe. And I think usually this feeling of unsafety is connected to panhandlers. Do you think that this is a correct perception of crime downtown? Like, is there a real crime problem downtown? Or is it just people kind of feeling uncomfortable having to deal with panhandlers?
I think people are more, it's more a perception. It is a perception. I don't think downtown's particularly dangerous in comparison to other areas of the city. Walking late at night in you know, just about any part of the city can be a little unnerving. And the reason being is because the streets are empty. And that's certainly the case downtown. And so it's not the fact that there's a man who, you know, was extremely disheveled and staggering around and things like that. That's not the problem. It's that he's the only one on the street with you. You know, so if there was 50 other people that were going about their own business, you wouldn't even notice that guy as much. And so, I'm not too crazy about those. Like, you know, while I do understand the perception and, you know, like how people like that can make some people uncomfortable, I'm not going to like completely discredit that. But these laws that are, you know, coming into effect are just a little silly and they're reactionary. And I mean, you know, the aggressive panhandling bylaw, that's never been looked at. You know, has it worked? Has it not? You know, and so it's just, well, let's put one for guys that stand on the boulevard too. You know, so it's just, you know, let's, you know, if it's a problem, then let's look at solving it rather than just, you know, making headlines.
Yeah. As far as development downtown, you talked about different projects and companies and stuff like that, and one of the ones, I guess that's operating downtown, like I guess they have their office downtown, Centra Venture. Now, in your opinion, do they help development in downtown, or do they kind of maintain the status quo?
Well, I think they started out and technically still exist for a very, very good reason. They, you know, after a few decades of urban renewal in North American cities, that really was just kind of top down. Centra Venture took the approach when they were formed in the late 90s to kind of just be there to fill in the gap that, you know, so for example, if an entrepreneur wanted to like buy a building and redevelopment as, you know, apartments upstairs and a little hair shop down in the ground floor, Centra Venture would lend them the financing for that, where they might not be able to get it from a conventional lending institution. That's a real barrier, and so that's really good. And they actually continue to do that. But lately, it seems that they've been moving away from that kind of model of assisting people in revitalizing downtown and kind of going for the big ticket items, the real easy items. You know, like for example, the Winnipeg Regional Health Authority's office on Main Street. I don't know if that needs assistance from a group like Centra Venture. So my opinion is that by moving towards doing things that will get done already, like, you know, like a health bureaucracy moving downtown, they don't need the assistance of Centra Venture to do that. So I think Centra Venture is proving itself a little redundant by moving towards those kind of, you know, bigger projects. But I think the original intention of the organization to kind of help small-scale investment and kind of build on that, I think that was a great idea, and I'd love to see them go back to that.
For more info, go to riseandsprawl.blogspot.com to get more of Robert Galston's writings and views, as well as other links to blogs which deal with urban and development issues. For People of Interest, I'm Scott Price.